For those of us that were here, we have been considering the subject of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. From that dimension that God wants to exercise his dominion over the earth. And his conduit pipe is man. Because his throne on earth by reason of the sacrifice of Christ is expected to be seated in our hearts. And from the platform of our hearts, God wants to extend his authority and dominion and his majesty. As touching the issue of the kingdom, the connecting point of man is very, very important. The extent to which God has gained dominion of your territory is relevant. And if God has not been able to influence your life and to bring you to a point where you respond to him as your king, your life is not so much, not worth much in the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me now? I say, are you with me? Oh my God, your amen is dry this evening. I say, are you here? Oh my Father. Now turn your Bible with me quickly. We saw yesterday that as pertaining to the kingdom of heaven, there is always a need for repentance when the perspective of the kingdom of heaven conflicts with our perspective. When God brings the perspective of the kingdom of heaven and we find it to be in conflict with our own perspective, if you are responsible, heaven demands that you will have to repent from your perspective and embrace the kingdom. And that happens to be an ongoing exercise that should be present in your life. Are you still with me now? Hallelujah. It needs to be an ongoing exercise because God has an intention to be able to govern your territories. On the account of your salvation, God began to tabernacle your spirit. He's in control of your spirit now. Thanks be to Jesus. But you see, he needs to go beyond your spirit and control your soul. He needs to go beyond your soul and control your body. Because God has a threefold plan in sanctification. He wants to sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And see, in salvation, he came into your spirit. And that's why salvation of the spirit is called regeneration. Salvation of your soul is called transformation. When it begins to influence your soul, you no longer transformation because not reformation but transformation. If it were reformation, it would have been God attempting to patch it, to renovate it, leaving its inherent structure. But for the soul, it is transformation because by reason of the fall, we became self-conscious. We live for self, we fight for self, we defend self. Everything about self becomes the character and nature of the life of man on the account of the fall. But transformation, because God wants to deliver us from being self-conscious to becoming God-conscious. That is a trance. If you are a student of chemistry, you will understand what it means when a structure is called a trance structure. It's not a reformable structure. Hallelujah. God wants to transform the operation of your soul such that your mind, your will, and your emotion is programmed by the divine life, and as such, it doesn't sustain the character of self-defense, self-consciousness. It functions by God consciousness and God perspective. Hallelujah. God still wants to go beyond your soul and saturate your body and control all your appetites so that your appetite for sleep will not stand in the way of God's plan to enrich your spirit, so that your appetite for drink will not lead you into a beer parlor. You'll be singing amen, amen, but sipping beer, because there's an appetite that is so wide, and the devil takes advantage of that appetite to put you into captivity. God will not allow an appetite to control you. When you give your life to Christ, and maybe you have been involved with ladies deeply, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you must fall upon a lady. When you come into the kingdom by the operation of the Spirit of God, that appetite will be adjusted until you come to a point where you no longer feel the desire for a lady. The entire system comes under the influence of the king that tabernacles your heart. And life that is lived from that perspective is the life of heaven on earth. It sustains a value system that derives from heaven. And when it is found upon the face of the earth, it's a brilliant light that shines forth and convicts men. Are you still with me now? Now turn your Bible quickly. We said that whenever the kingdom perspective is revealed, and if by any means it conflicts with our perspective, if you are going to grow in kingdom life, Scripture demands that you repent of your perspective and embrace the kingdom. Number two, point we need to raise about the kingdom of heaven. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Because the book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. 33 times the word kingdom, phrase kingdom of heaven is mentioned in the book of Matthew. So we'll be profiling the book of Matthew and seeing every time and what the scripture says about our participation in the kingdom of heaven. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, I want you to look upon... All right. Before, I would have just said we should look upon verse 3, which is my emphasis, but let us see the background. The Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying... Notice that before today we had looked upon the book of Psalms.
Amen.
We have looked upon the book of Psalms 82. And we have established that the fall of man gave birth to an earth without a manual. Because God intended that man will yield to him. And if man yields to him, the authority of God from heaven will be conducted by man in the earth. And he will have dominion over everything that God has created. And because of that, the earth is going to respond under a pattern, a rhythm, and a frequency. It will operate with a rhythm. And that rhythm is the rhythm that has been granted it by reason of the operations of God. But you see, on the account of the fall, it happened to be that the earth lost its manual. Everything began to operate out of balance with God's original plan. And in the book of Matthew chapter 5, what is happening here is that Jesus has come back with the manual. When he came back with the manual, notice that he was on a mountain. And he saw a vast multitude that came to listen to him. If it were you or me, maybe we would have drawn out our horn speakers, our bass speakers, and our projector speakers for a 5-day crusade until the land is ravaged with the power of God. But you see, because of the thing that Jesus wanted to share, because of the content of what he had bubbling in his heart, he knew that that message was not a message for the multitude. And so he wanted to screen his audience. He didn't want that information to drop upon just anybody by the wayside. And because of that, he increased the standard. And the Bible says, having seen the multitude, he withdrew himself and he went to a high mountain. So that in case you want to hear what he wants to say today, you have to hear it with a price. You pay a price to get to that point. And you see, we have accepted a cheap gospel. A gospel that is privatized. A gospel that is commercialized. A gospel that is linked up to your pocket and your bank account. A gospel that has to do with contract. Breakthrough. Hallelujah. And every time God brings something and he said, this one is going to be with a price, you will discover that the average Christian in Nigeria, this is nothing, it's not interested. There are deep things in the kingdom that if you operate on that shallow, mundane level, God will never make it available to you. Now, you see, and the truth of the matter is that if the kingdom is not established in your life, you don't have cover. The devil will play with you and nobody will cry out. Hallelujah. Now, people like every other thing except bowing to the king and receiving his approval. And so Jesus decided to go back and he climbed up the mountain. So that the people that will eventually get up there are people that are ready to pay a price to receive something from God. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, only his disciples appeared there. That means the other guy came for bread, they came for something, they came because they felt God was owing them something, and because of that, they just showed up. Will you give us what you have for us today? Jesus looked at them and saw that they were not worthy. I don't know what kind of Christianity you have been practicing. Hallelujah. Jesus has left where the average Nigerian Christian is. He has left there. Hallelujah. He has left there. There is a place he is now. And only people that pay the price to get there will continue with him on this level. You know why he's all God by himself? He can decide to change the location. Can just say, we won't meet here today. It will be up now.
And I want to announce to you that he has changed it. He operates in an elevator that is very high, and only people that want to pay a price to gain ascendancy can actually get there. Now, at the end of the day, unfortunately, only his disciples reached the top of the mountain where he was waiting for them. And the Bible says when he got there, he opened his mouth. When he opened his mouth, what he uttered was the manual that Adam's disobedience made displaced out of the earth. He has come to restore it. And what he's saying is, if everything operates after this pattern, after this order, you will see my will expressed on earth. And the things you pray about, you find out that it's not, they are not prayer points. You discover that the devil has authority because of rebellion. The devil has authority because of disobedience. The devil is still relevant because people are still outside of alignment with the perspective of God. One of the reasons why, on confrontation with the perspective of the kingdom, you need to repent and align is so that if you do that, your level of alignment becomes... You get it? When you repent and embrace the kingdom, you align more with God. And when you align more with God, God through you can have more expression in the earth realm. Are you with me now? If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
I pray the Lord will help us. We need help. For some mentalities we have been carrying, that God will inject us with a syringe, a long one, and take out, it will draw out the mentality and then release something there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, so Jesus is up there now and he's declaring the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. The first thing he said, there is a blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you were here yesterday, we established that the throne of God that has come to be established in the earth realm, where is it situated? Huh? I can't hear you. The throne of God that has come into the earth is situated in the heart of man. Now, that means God is not so far away from you. You know, many times you are in some situations and circumstances and you feel as if God is on holiday. No. He is on his throne. And his throne is where? In your heart. Now, if you understand that, you discover that you can actually take advantage of the presence of God because of his proximity. But you see, there is a posture of heart you have to sustain in order for you to be able to link up with the power of God that is upon your heart. Alright? Now, if you take your notebook, please, your notebook, put it on your eye. Can you read? Read now. It's not in the right place. Yes, you know that some things are written there, but you cannot tap into the things because it's wrongly positioned. The scripture is trying to take us inside, into the environment of our heart. What posture of heart can you sustain such that you'll be able to link up with God? Are you with me? Knowing that the God that is in your heart is a king. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody approaching a king before? I'm not talking about these are our own traditional rulers. The whole concept is lost. Okay, babe, Kabiyesi. I think the Yoruba tradition tried. When it comes like that, when I went to marry, they say Dobale. Just, I say I'm from a royal clan. They say that you and your clan go down. Go down from a royal line. We don't go down. Hallelujah. Now the point is this: in order for you to tap into the resources of a king, you approach him with lowliness and poverty. And because this reality is going to take place in the confinement and the privacy of your heart, the Bible says, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. You see, in relating with a king, you need not to come there puffed up and say, hey, how are you? Hallelujah. When you show up, you hide yourself and you lower yourself. When you do that, that is when that becomes the character of your heart, you can access God. That's what he's saying. He said, blessed are they that acknowledge their spiritual inadequacy.
if they sustain this posture as the character of their heart and they approach God steadfastly, somehow God will respond to them.
I remember the first time I attended a seminar, and one man came, a Yoruba man. He said, "The Lord spoke to me," and I believed him. I said, "God spoke to this person, it's true." I said, "God, so you speak to people. You speak to people." So I said, "All right, this night, if you don't speak this night, I won't sleep. I put Bible, put everything there. I said, I need you to speak. Jesus." And I spoke in tongues. I spoke all the tongues that I know. And God didn't speak to me. A time came in the prayer where I began to beg God. I began to beg him. I don't know, the prayer changed gear. And the Holy Ghost began to take over gradually. And I began to beg God. I said, "Lord, you spoke to this, you spoke to that. Is it that I'm a sinner?" Hallelujah. And when the character of the heart sustained poverty of spirit, when all your credentials count for nothing and you desire his voice as if your life depends upon it, he takes pleasure to rise up and to stretch his scepter. Because if he stretches his scepter towards you in another posture, you will not know why he came. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me very loud that night. Then I rejoiced. And as he spoke to me, I asked him for a sign again. And instantly rain started falling. To confirm that thing that is happening in you is as strong as the rain outside there. From that day, I knew the character of heart, the posture of heart, that a man needs to maintain if he's going to embrace a decree from the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Somebody asked me, I said, "What is it you do when you seek God?" Very easy. The scripture has captured it. Once you maintain poverty of spirit and go before God in your heart that way, he will quicken it. Your spiritual senses will be made alive. He might put a scripture upon your heart and make it so hot that even your mind cannot deviate from it. He can move to your thoughts, and one thought just comes and is so strong and superimposed. He can lift a verse out of scripture and paste it upon your heart. And even when you want to go away from it, but in order for you to receive anything from God in that format, there is a fundamental need of what? Of poverty of spirit. Acknowledging your inadequacy. Understanding that we are a derivative form of his divine excess. Alright? For instance, you need to speak in tongues for 2 hours for your spirit to be charged. God doesn't need to speak in tongues. Because he's God. Or that's how he is. You are operating on a derivative mode. And you need to acknowledge daily your poverty of spirit if your relationship with him will prosper. That means you come like a worthy subject, seeking that he might lift up his hands. Just as it is written, that as the eyes of the maidens look upon the hands of their mistresses, as the eyes of the servants look upon the hands of their masters. That is an expression of poverty of spirit. We are looking up to you. We are looking on to you. We are seeking you because of ourselves, and in ourselves we can do nothing. That is poverty of spirit. You see, not everybody approaches God that way. With our new faith preaching now, many of us approach God as a prodigal son. "Give me that which falleth to me." You can do that if you have not yet matured. You go to God and say, "I think you say..." We used to do that those days. "But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Go with me to verse 10. Are you there in verse 10 now? He said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of..." When we talk about theirs is the kingdom of heaven, we are saying that these people can access the throne and receive from the throne. If you want to tap into the frequency of the throne, you need to sustain a heart that has a character of poverty of spirit. A heart that manifests spiritual inadequacy. A heart that acknowledges that of itself, it doesn't sustain the capacity to make it through. And so it needs help from God. It needs supply from God. Okay? Second one is more terrible. The Bible says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These kind of people. God will never conceal the reality of his kingdom from them. No, they will receive encouragement from God on the spot, so that they will not be discouraged. Now, you see, these are the people that... Amen. If we go through Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 to Matthew chapter 5 verse 12, 3 to 12, which is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, which describes the inner environment of your heart and the operations of God and the way God deals with you in your heart, kingdom dealings that God manifests in your heart. Alright? How to respond adequately to the operations of the king and how to understand the manipulations of inner life as God begins to deal with you without speaking words that are audible. Those are the things captured there. And for every advance from God to enlighten us about his will, Jesus calls it blessing. Because otherwise you walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Now, what it means when the Bible says theirs is the kingdom of heaven, it means that God and the activity of his throne will be made very conscious to that individual. Are you with me now? Now, if you sustain a poverty of spirit, God's kingdom and the activity of God inside of you, he will look for a way to make it conscious. Make you conscious of such his activity. Are you with me now? Alright, the Bible says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, you see, when we talk kingdom, I said the other day we were talking tariff and territory. It happens to be that there is another king in this world. And Jesus has displaced that king by his crucifixion on the cross and brought his throne into the same territory. That means there will be conflict. Hallelujah. And it happens to be that the summary of the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens is righteousness. We don't have time to arrive at that conclusion. But, let's say in an office setting, and a kingdom man is present in an office, and some things need to pass through his table, and his boss is expecting him to comply with a trend of corruption so that a deal can be sealed. And the guy decides that no way, the constitution of my kingdom forbids that I be unrighteous. And because of that, he declares his stand, even though he knows that by so doing, he puts himself in a position of disadvantage in that office and exposes himself to persecution. Are you with me? Now, God will not steal that guy from persecution. No, the persecution will still come. But what God will do is that God will give him strength inside. He will bring him to a consciousness of serious encouragement inside, so that the person will be able to bear it. If we have come to that level where we are ready to manifest the character of the kingdom at a cost and at a price, the Bible says, unto you will my manifestations be unveiled. You see, there's going to be a relationship between you and God that you cannot have any other way. When you have stood with God in the face of contradiction, the hand of God is going to be upon you strong. That's the kind of person that comes to a place and prays and says, Lord, I know you don't have any dealing with these people, but because I've come here, do something. And God will move, because his trust man that has stood for him in the open has made a prayer to the throne, the same throne that has strengthened him in the midst of his affliction. Such a prayer, such a man, his prayers receive answers. Have you wondered why all the prayers you have been doing, most of them do not see the light of day? The reason is because you don't matter much to the kingdom. You have not yet decided to satisfy the principles of that kingdom.
even in situations where it will cost you. So our Christianity is cheap. It's beggarly. Can't even shake the gates of aluminium before we talk about the gates of debt. When you press a believer strong enough, he will bend. Because he has been acquainted with the gospel of grace and mercy. How that the great King and God is so vast in his mercy. And the Bible reveals that his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So the guy steps up and falls upon the lady and says, Lord, compassion today is new. I reach out in the name of Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus is eternal. The effect spans from one end of eternity to the other. And so if I make a mistake today, the blood is still efficacious to administer deliverance to me and to set me free from the yoke of bondage. Somebody say amen. Amen. Such an epileptic gospel is a gospel that defies every possibility of pledging a sum. Maximally and optimally, that plague wouldn't have even come in the first place. But you see, God has his ways. Anytime the church goes to sleep, some things are empowered to beat the chalk to come back to life. And it happens to be that in our current reality, that has been one of the koboko that has been weeping because our Christianity lacks the needed potency from heaven. Now, so it is customary today in our current version of Christianity that when you are tempted, especially with monetary issues, since you stand a chance of giving a testimony, that just a little manipulation brought about 50,000, that might be a testimony. It's the will of God for me to prosper. So how can you say that this 50,000 that is coming my way now, even though I need to cut some corners to make it come well? How can you say that it's not God that is doing it? Then you forget that the summary of the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens is a need to have practical workings of righteousness in your life as a testimony to the fact that you are an ambassador for a different nation. And the constitution of that nation provides that you should manifest righteousness in your character, deed, and word as your most natural state of existence. And if you do that consistently, you are such as the Bible describes as men that have allowed their light to shine in a darkened world. If Christ is not seen through your character, if your disposition of righteousness is not evident, the world may never ever see a plumb line that will convict them of their evil ways. Hallelujah. I know you can't say amen so much, but try, just try. True kingdom men are ready to pay a price for righteousness. I know one of my friends, one lady, all the people that came to marry her required sex from her, and she decided that if it's so, marriage is, I stay single. She's still single till today. Hallelujah. But she had not compromised. Those are the kind of people that God will stand with. Because today is so easy. I said yesterday that there's no time we would have talked about the God of government and the God of grace. And you understand the scope of grace. And grace never comes to substitute government at all. It never comes to... Many people, you don't understand that every time you sin willfully, you bring yourself under judgment. There are several... let me stop. Anytime you sin willfully, you have complicated your destiny. You have complicated your life. You may go to the most anointed man to reverse the course until it has gone its due. It has plagued its due. It will not stop. When David sinned in the issue of Uriah, pleaded to God, God now showed him mercy. That's grace. But government still went ahead and was effective. And the judgment was that the sword would not leave his house. He may go for anointing service, the sword will still be there. He may go for miracle night vigil. He'll be coming back, he may see a sword in his frontage.
God has forgiven him for his sin. But in the process of sinning, he has sown a seed. And that seed must have returns. And the returns on that seed is that a sword will never depart from his family. That's government. Grace does not change the place of government. Bible says that the days of ignorance God will overlook. Only the days of ignorance. People take advantage of the grace of God as a basis of being unfaithful to God, not knowing that by so doing they are exposing themselves to wreck. That's the version of New Testament Christianity. You need to see Christianity in Abuja now. It's a Christianity of harlotry and whoredom. And the average preacher in Abuja is an expert in new creation realities. The mercy of God and the grace of God. The cross of Christ has paid it all. Even in South Africa now, they don't believe that there's a need for you to fast. That John Wesley fasted, Jesus fasted, everybody fasted. Which fasting are you doing again? And one of my friends now caught up with that gospel and said, no need for fasting, no need for prayer. Just come and speak the word and decree in the name of Jesus Christ. And he kept speaking the word until he fell into fornication. Speaking the word, spoke it. Spirit became lean and hungry. No power to live the life of the gospel. Now, God needs to help us, Because if God is going to move through you to bring deliverance to your family, there's a kind of person you have to be. The fact that the levelers are few does not mean that he will recruit you or me. You will not function on your own terms and expect that God will come and be your God. He remains your savior. But if you want to commit him further, the kingdom of the heavens has its constitution, and citizens of that kingdom are expected to live by the same. The summary of that constitution is righteousness. There should be no crookedness around your life. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and the constitution, which is summarized in the word. And it happens to be that in a territory that the devil controls, if you are going to be a righteous man, you will be righteous at a cost, at a price. Are you with me? It's very, very easy. When we went for promotion exam, it was very, very easy. When you go there, hallelujah, is one, I don't know whether they call it, is it NASCON that came and organized the exam? NASCON, they don't get office. Write exam, go meet them on Friday, say, oh boy, I know write that, withdraw my, take 20,000, settle your, put my name there. People went there, hallelujah. But some of us can't go now, because our life is not dependent on promotion. If God is still alive, then we live also. We live out of his faithfulness, because we are in covenant with him. We can't break covenant with God because of anything that is of the earth. Hallelujah. There were times I've been poor, serious poverty. I've seen it. I didn't deny God. And then God began to bring me out of it. I won't deny him now. Hallelujah. If a man doesn't stand with God, he cannot get a commitment of heaven. The proof that you are part and parcel, that you are dealing accurately and diligently with the reality of the kingdom of the heaven, is that your life reveals an uncompromising posture of righteousness. Are you still with me? Can we go on? We're in number what now? Number three. No. I'm giving us some principles of the kingdom of heaven. The first one says there is a need for repentance anytime we see that the perspective of the kingdom of heaven conflicts with our own perspective. You have to repent and embrace the perspective of the kingdom of the heaven. Second principle is that the kingdom belongs to those who are poor in spirit and those who are persecuted for righteousness sake. And the scriptural reference for that is Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and verse 10. Are you with me now? Can we go on now? Number 3. Those who live according to the new law, the heavenly principles of the kingdom of heaven, are called great in it, while those who do not are called least In the kingdom of heaven, there is strata and there are levels. There are several people that are not great in the kingdom of heaven. Several others are great. There is strata, there is order, there is capacity in that realm. Should I come again with number three? Listen. Those who live according to the new law, the heavenly principles,